Logo, Accelerator Media. Logo, Brightwater Media. Brightwater Media presents a John Manning film. On a stage in a nightclub, an MC wears striped pants, arm garters, and a bowler hat.
All right, you kids, ready?
Backstage, a group of dancers.
Dear burlesque goddess, thank you so much for blessing me out of nowhere with a vision that I had this amazing cast to get behind. Thank you so much for the talent and the ingenuity and the amazing problem-solving abilities that are contained in this room right now.
The MC.
There are a few things that you should bear in mind, of course. Make a fuck ton of noise.
Backstage.
Thank you in advance for blessing us with an outstanding show that goes so fucking smooth that people come in their pants and shit at the same time.
Here is to reveling in who we are and the ability to do what we do.
Yay! Blessed be!
Gay women.
Wrong women!
MC.
The more you drink, the better we appear.
Wait, here we go.
Credits appear over a montage of home movies and other clips of little girls dancing, dancers rehearsing, and professional burlesque dancers on stage. Production designer, Jonathan Adams. Composer, Jim Walker. Editor, Beth Siegel. Director of photography, Randolph Sellers. Executive producer, Peter Spirer. Producers, Julie Livingston and John Manning.
I heard them say, my church offers no absolutes. He says, worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with.
More slow motion clips of vintage nightclub signs and dancers with glittery costumes and feathers.
Command me to be well.
Title, Burlesque, Heart of the Glitter Tribe. A dancer struts across the stage wearing a sparkly strapless pink gown and a pink feathery headdress. Voiceover.
I am a huge, huge fan of fashion.
She slowly peels off one elbow-length glove.
Designers like Jean-Paul Gaultier and Alexander McQueen. I draw a ton of inspiration from a lot of their more couture lines and the things that they make that are much more radical.
Photos of models wearing elaborate dresses.
I see these beautiful pieces of clothing, these just gorgeous coats or dresses or headpieces, and those for me are what inspire me to create something beautiful, to be able to wear it on stage and to be able to sort of share that part of the inspiration.
Interview, Zora von Pavanin, winner Best Costume, Caribbean Burlesque Festival. Zora sketches costume ideas in a notebook.
I hate when people call burlesque a hobby, because for me, it's something that I almost dedicate more time and love and effort to than I do my own relationship. My partner goes to bed at like 9 o'clock at night, and I'm like, okay, I love you, I'll see you in the morning. And I'm in here until 5 a.m., gluing rhinestones down, putting feathers.
Close-up of hand sewing beads onto a dress.
Lots of things suffer. My bank account suffers. My sex life suffers. I do it because I love it, and I can't go on stage with something that's half-assed. There are days where it's like, I don't even care if I ever perform again. I'm just going to keep gluing rhinestones because this is awesome.
Now an MC on stage.
She is an all-around bundle of talent. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome up Zora von Pavanin.
Zora wears a beaded bodysuit-style costume and carries a large feather fan in each hand.
The night called my name.
She moves to the music, gracefully waving the fans. She turns her back to the audience, revealing a delicate swirly tattoo on her bare buttocks.
In the dark.
The nightclub audience is riveted. Zora holds both fans in front of her body with one hand, and with the other, she slowly unties the ribbon that is holding up the outer layer of her costume.
The night.
As she removes the garment, she exposes large feather tattoos that cover her back. She drops the outer garment and bends over at the waist, still shielding herself with the feather fans. She raises her arms, revealing a beaded bodysuit which exposes her bare breasts. She slowly brings the fans together in front of her until she is completely enclosed by the feathers. MC.
Tonight we're going to make love to you individually and collectively. Because this is our celebration of being alive. This is our church. This is the place where we come and share the strange and gorgeous moments of our lives. You ready to go along for that ride?
The next dancer has curly blonde hair and wears a thong bikini. She turns her back to the audience and wiggles two tassels attached to her butt cheeks. Then she bends over and makes the tassels twirl in opposite directions. Interview.
Assholes. Assholes are the most incredible invention.
Angelique Deville.
You try and work with your best qualities and I definitely have more butt than boobs.
Don't hold back. For Angelique Deville!
With a lot of burlesque performers, their burlesque persona may be complete opposite of who they are in real life. I think of Angelique Deville as more of, she's my megaphone. She is an amplification of all the people that I've been, that I am, that I want to be.
Montage of Angelique performing in various costumes.
She is that five-year-old who ran around making silly faces, doing whatever she had to make you laugh. She is that brooding, tragic teenager who wants you to see her black soul.
Angelique performs in a red satin gown.
You're gonna be my honey boy. I'm gonna be your queen.
All of my routines seem to involve a transformation. I feel like I embody both extremes. I'm the heroine and the villain and everything in between. And so I wanted her name and her character to really represent that. She's the angelic devil, you know? She's Angelique Deville. She is black, white, and all the shades of gray.
On stage, she dramatically peels off a layer of clothes.
I do everything at a level 10. I do my day job like that. I do my performance like that. That's the kind of friend I am. I'm very passionate. I don't know how to be any other way. And so I guess Angelique doesn't either.
Her dance moves are sharp and erratic. Now, interview with Zora.
My performer name is Zora von Pavanin, and I chose Zora because I'm Greek. Pavanin means of or like a peacock.
I'm Jed Adore.
Other dancers introduce themselves.
The Isle of Romantica.
My name is Avizia Dakini. This is my friend Jesus.
A puppet.
I'm Russell Bruner.
Sandria Dore.
Violet Oh My God.
Isaiah Esquire.
Babs Jamboree.
Villains don't ask Batman his real name.
The dancer who introduced herself as Babs Jamboree wears a helmet and a tool belt. She demonstrates a chainsaw. Next, in a forest, Babs climbs a tree using a safety harness.
My day job is outdoor work. And I hang out with a lot of dudes and do a lot of, like, manual labor. I don't wear makeup during the week. There isn't a lot of attention to beauty. And so I love to get off work and turn into this whole other kind of persona.
On stage, Babs wears a frilly tutu.
It's very much like the butch and femme divide in my life.
She performs in a line with four other women.
It's really wonderful to be in a room in an art form where we can all say, like, I love boobs. Let's see more of them. For me, it's not why this kind of dance. It's just, like, why this kind of performance art.
In Portland, Oregon, Isaiah Esquire leads a group of dancers in a rehearsal.
This is what I want more than this. Cool? It's ugly, I know. It's raunchy, that's what I want, okay? To get there, this comes leaning up to go down. Ha! Swing your torso through, there you go.
Interview Isaiah.
Swinging.
I was 6'1 and 198 in seventh grade.
And your knees are coming out.
Had these huge lips, this big butt and this horrible, horrible stuttering problem.
Rehearsal.
Down, through, hit around, low.
I was always the outcast.
Money, no.
I couldn't engage with people, and the only time that I felt that I could was when I was dancing.
You have to control that when you come down.
Someone said I was sexy, the way that I moved was sexy. Since no one knew my name because I was way too quiet to talk to anyone, that's what they called me, so everyone called me sexy.
An onstage performance, Isaiah slowly peels off his t-shirt.
I have body image issues, and I was a kid who went swimming with their t-shirt on, and I would not take off my shirt.
Another performance, he takes off a button-down shirt.
Getting to a point where I could take my shirt off was all burlesque. What clicked for me, we were performing at this club, and what the women liked was my body, because it seemed real. Everyone's beautiful to someone. It's about finding a space that makes you feel comfortable enough to face those demons.
Now backstage before a performance, Angelique and two other dancers practice their steps.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yep, in the middle, circle, 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 circle. No, across the back, circle, circle, circle.
Yes.
Who's here? Doesn't matter, they're all the same.
Thank you.
Heart, you're up. Okay, boys, you ready?
The performers all head for the stage. Their performance begins with a dark stage. Then a single strobe light illuminates Angelique.
I followed my heart and it led me here. Sometimes in darkness everything is clear. So clear.
Interview Angelique.
Somebody once told me, "You dance how I feel." And I thought that was pretty much the best compliment I could have ever received.
On the dark stage, Angelique extends her arms, revealing wing-like sleeves decorated with tiny lights.
In 2003, I moved to LA for about a year because I was going to try and get dance work.
Later in the performance, she sheds the sleeves and outer garment. She dances provocatively in the dark, wearing a sparkly fringed bikini. A small light glows from her chest.
There was plenty of work down there, and I made a lot of money. And I was the saddest girl in the world. That cutthroat competition to try and get that gig, it's just not my jam.
The skies are cold and gray.
She dances across the stage.
So I decided to go back to college. Best decision I ever made. I got into burlesque because it was an opportunity for me to perform.
On stage, she slowly unhooks the fringes from around her hips and drops them to the floor.
I like to try and explore new movement and push myself to not just do the same things that I know will work for the audience. I mean, that's the only way you're going to grow as a performer.
She turns her back to the audience and slowly unhooks the bra top. She removes it and drops it before turning around. Now there are three lights on her body, two on her breasts and one on the front of her bikini thong. She ends the performance on her knees, leaning back and reaching one arm up to the sky. Interview with Stage Door Johnnies, a three-man group.
As a classically trained dancer, you're the vessel for another person's kind of artistic vision, and so you don't really have a voice.
For a lot of those dance forms, you're actually encouraged
to not be an individual. Especially in modern dance, you have to have like blank face. Or in ballet, you fit into the core and you don't stand out, and you have to just blend in as much as possible. But as far as burlesque goes, typically the performers who are the most successful are the personalities that stand out the most.
Backstage, Zora waits for her cue. She closes her eyes and clutches her large feather fans. Voiceover.
The numbers that I'm doing for the first time, I'm shaking. It's like, oh my God, I'm horrible. I shouldn't be a burlesque performer, and I'm not good, and this is gonna suck. Anxiety, I think, is a huge propeller once you get on stage because it gives you a very energized feel. If you can control it, it's wonderful. If you can't, then you're usually not a good performer.
Now Zora and two other dancers perform on stage. Wearing gowns and elaborate headdresses, they strut forward in unison. Babylon got away. Interview Zora.
Being up close and personal with your audience, it changes the way you do everything.
Turn the sky completely gray.
The costumes. When you look up close at a costume that's been made for ballet or for theater, you get inside and it's hideous and there's seams and stitches.
She sits on the floor gluing rhinestones to a high-heeled shoe.
With burlesque, you have to have such a fine attention to detail because you are going to be 5 feet away from somebody and you want your shit to look good. If you're on the stage and you're 10, 20 feet away, who gives a shit? Nobody's gonna tell that a rhinestone is missing or that, like, I didn't shave my pubes this morning. Nobody's gonna know, nobody's gonna see that. When you're, like, this close to somebody, all bets are off and your shit better be dialed in.
Now, backstage at the Lovecraft Bar, Zora assists a dancer with the back of her costume.
Okay, so I'm gonna put it here. Okay. I'm going.
Yeah.
The top of the triangle is perfectly centered between your dimples.
Excellent.
She shows Zora her nipple covers.
Thank you. These are my new. I'm not like the
best. Oh, they're really
in the world.
Good. They're cute.
I couldn't get the size of peppers that I want.
Yeah, because apparently the world doesn't make peppers anymore.
I know, and this is the old one, and I wanted a new one, but it still looks pretty good. It's a new American base, though.
Not now, on stage, Babs, dressed as a man, lip syncs to the music.
Oh, my golden statuette. I sing the devil's minuet.
Interview, Babs.
I tried to do things that were very, like, classic burlesque numbers, and they very much fell flat in the beginning.
Two female dancers pull all the clothes off of Babs as she lip syncs.
When I did my first funny act, people kind of went nuts about it, and I got so much more of a reaction than I ever thought that I would. It made me feel really good, and I was like, maybe this is my thing. And so I began to approach act creation in kind of a different way. When something strikes me as funny, I start writing about it, you know, and I start drawing pictures, and I start thinking, you know, like, well, could I really do that on stage? Like, isn't that kind of ridiculous? Like, no, that's not sexy. No one's gonna like that. And that's when I know, like, I really have to do it.
Backstage, Babs checks the set list.
Hawaiian number two.
What I find incredibly sexy is someone putting themselves out there and committing entirely to whatever art form that they have chosen for themselves.
Babs heads for the stage.
Even if it's something super weird, and to me, what's sexy about that is, like, that person's full commitment to, like, being ridiculous and performing the hell out of that number.
Babs' costume has white fabric on top, and she is wrapped in foil from the waist down. Behind the curtain, she encloses herself in a giant paper bag. The performance begins. Babs pulls down the sides of the giant bag and steps out of it.
If you know me, you know that I love burritos. And burritos are my favorite food. And I eat burritos every day. So I was like, well, burritos have to be a part of this number.
She pushes away the foil, revealing a costume that looks like she is wrapped in a giant tortilla.
How am I going to make that happen? Am I going to be eating a burrito? Am I going to be wearing beans? It's like, you know what? I have to be the burrito.
Babs dances across the stage, opening and closing the tortilla costume provocatively. Underneath, she wears a strappy green one-piece suit that barely covers her body.
Top with lettuce for a little crunch.
You might say there's nothing sexy about a woman dressed as a burrito, but...
I'll show you different.
Eventually, the giant tortilla coat came into being, and I decided underneath I would be a sexy jalapeno.
She ends the performance wearing only nipple covers and a leaf. She struts off stage, and the MC comes out. Interview, Sandria Dore.
Comedy is sexy. I mean, if you can make people laugh, that's number one. I mean, because there are some really unattractive people, but they're funny as hell, and they get laid.
Russell Bruner.
Learned from watching Monty Python is that naked men are funny and naked ladies are sexy. You know, this is kind of something that's instilled in all of our minds.
Evizia Dakini.
I'm not there to seduce you. I'm there to make you laugh.
Stage door Johnnies.
Humor and or playfulness, that realm with... sex appeal.
Maybe more the absurdity of certain things, too, because, like, there are certain times where it's like, I am a grown man dressed like a unicorn.
What's absurd about that?
Now at the bar, a woman reads an introduction from a card.
Born on the Isle of Romantica. I think that's bullshit. He is the internationally beloved icon of glamour, passion, and lusty elegance. He's known worldwide for his hugely grand, epic, and elaborately theatrical presentations and headlines in some of the largest burlesque shows and festivals all over the globe, in over 50 major cities. Most notably throughout New Zealand, where there's hobbits. He's the no pants romancer, the diamond stud, the prince of burlesque. Please welcome Mr. Jetito.
The performance begins with a dark stage. A single spotlight reveals Jet Adore wearing a full-length shiny cape with white ostrich feathers. His back is to the audience. Interview.
The idea of a man inviting you to indulge in his body is not so much what we're used to.
On stage, he turns to face the audience. Underneath the cape, he is wearing only a bird-like mask strategically placed between his legs.
There's an inherent comedy almost already there. But we tend to try to twist it beyond just saying, isn't it funny that we're doing what women do?
Another performance. Jed wears a towel around his waist. Steam rises from the stage floor.
Humor and cleverness tends to be an easier sell. Like, oh, that was really great, you know, it was really funny. Versus like, oh, that was really sexy.
Other members of the group juggle and perform balancing acts.
And it almost neglects the sexiness.
Various scenes of the men performing provocative and exotic dance moves. They wear makeup and costumes and use props such as water and sheer scarves to enhance their acts. The men's performances elicit cheers from the audience. Next, in an apartment, Zora talks on the phone while packing up beads and thread.
I know, it's like all these things we have to negotiate the heat today. It's like, oh my God. So, okay, perfect, awesome. All right, perfect. I will bring the printouts for you. I'll have them for you when I get to the venue. And then we'll go from there. Sound good?
In the kitchen, a woman cuts flowers.
This is such a nice extra added touch, I think, Selena, to think about this kind of stuff.
I know, thank you.
Zora packs a bag.
Okay. Okay, bodysuit, bra, pasties, wig tape, hammer. Okay, I think I have everything.
I always get so stressed out when I go to shows because I go, Jesus Christ, like, I'm just packing for one night and I'm taking so much shit out of my apartment. So, like, I'm basically moving for the night. This bag is 70 pounds. It is 70 pounds. I put it on the scale. I'm lying. I don't even own a scale. But it's 70 pounds. Okay.
Now in a bar called the Funhouse Lounge, Evizia is on stage. She waves flaming torches, and her headdress is also on fire. She swallows the fire. Later, she walks towards the audience, waving her arms, their long spikes attached to her fingernails with fire at the tips. Interview.
I'm not going to go as far as to say that I'm in control of the fire, but we have a friendship.
She dances across the stage, rapidly twirling the torches.
It really is its own entity, and I'm just bringing it on stage and doing a dance with it.
She twirls two fireballs on the ends of ropes.
I burn myself often, but I don't burn myself terribly too often. It's a matter of seconds of making something look really great and hurting yourself. And that could be having too much fuel on one of your torches or holding fire in your mouth for too long. It will actually heat up your teeth. That doesn't feel good.
Now in a sewing room, Evizia works at a sewing machine. Voiceover.
Having the craft and skill that I have is really important because I have quite a few performances that are specific to what I'm trying to convey on stage. When you have this concept that you want, the only way you're going to get that is by making it yourself.
Interview.
I'm going to be making costumes until I'm going to make like a deathbed costume. Like, I'll be like, oh, I'm dying this week. Got to make something good to wear.
Next, at a shoe design studio, a designer works on a sparkly high-heeled shoe. Interview with author and journalist Haley Sweetland Edwards.
The American craft movement is primarily about doing it yourself and about being self-trained. And burlesque is absolutely a reflection of that movement, absolutely born out of it.
A montage of elaborate theatrical shoes.
Every artist has the tools in their utility belt. In ballet, you've got institutionalized moves and these outfits, and you have certain ways to express yourself. Burlesque comes with its own utility belt. It's got striptease. It's got pasties, it's got ribald comedy. A lot of artists that you're seeing now are taking that tool belt and using it as a means to express the commentary on society delivered in a sparkly extravaganza.
Backstage at a club, Babs uses a glue gun to carefully glue feathers onto a costume.
When I was doing my research for this act, I was looking at all the places this mermaid has come up in television and jokes and things like that. They call it the mermaid problem, right? Whenever there's a mermaid in a TV show or in a movie or something, it's like, oh no, how do you have sex with her? You know, like, not enough women to fuck and not enough fish to fry. And that's basically what this act really answers.
Later, she gets into a fish costume with a large paper mache head.
There were some other people in Portland who had food numbers, and we were like, let's do a food show where it's all food characters.
Now the performance. Babs, inside the giant head, reclines on a platform and extends her bare legs. She gets to her feet and waves her arms like fins.
Mermaid. Mermaid. Mermaid.
And I always thought it would be really funny to be a reverse mermaid. Fish on top, lady on bottom. So I was like, how could I turn that into a food number? Like, how do I get from reverse mermaid to food? And I was like, what if she was fish sticks? Oh my God, that's so exciting. I have like the beginning and I have the end. How do they go together? It's like, Her mermaid rock has got to turn into a deep fat fryer that she goes swimming in, obviously.
A sign appears behind the platform which reads, "Hot oil." Babs prances around the stage, then steps behind the sign and removes the fish head. She pulls on some golden-colored sleeves and loose leggings, then emerges from behind the sign, wearing a thong bikini along with the sleeves and leggings. Fish sticks and tater tots, 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 fish sticks and tater tots. She resumes her dance, slowly stripping off one sleeve, then the other. She removes the leggings one at a time, turns and wiggles her behind, then ends the performance by removing her top and shimmying for the audience. Backstage, the set is taken down. The next performers prepare.
Just road tattoos.
Noses, please. Out in the club, a mirror ball reflects tiny specks of light around the room. Backstage.
Can I help you? Sandria, go tell the kitten. We need him to stretch. Tell Armitage to stretch.
The MC.
Your own pleasure where you find it, and resolve things in the best way you can. So, let me tell you a little bit about me.
Next, Isaiah lip syncs wearing a full-length sequined robe. Masturbating with a magazine. She said, how'd you like to waste some time? And I could not resist when I saw a little naked grind. He flings off the robe, revealing a bare chest and long, open front skirt.
I don't consider myself a drag queen. For me, I'm a character impersonator. When you're dancing and you're all these different characters you have to play when you're in love and when you're hurt and you're in pain and get all these mannerisms that express what the song is talking about. That's a big part of dancing. It is acting.
Another one of Isaiah's performances. He lip syncs a dramatic scream.
This is an extreme character. So I need these huge, big lashes, and I need this bright lip, and I need all these different things, and now the character is there.
In another performance, he wears a long braided wig and plaid shirt.
The character comes alive in the movement. When I'm in the heels, then I can move this way. As soon as that 5 minutes is up, I am back to Isaiah. I knew a girl named Nikki. I guess you could say she was a sex fiend. My desire is not to be a female. I'm a guy, and I like being a guy.
A montage of Isaiah's performances. Wearing elaborate costumes and high heels, he performs strong gymnastic-style dance moves. As he leaves the stage, Isaiah carefully makes his way down some steps.
Worst I've done it, man. It's over. The stage is really slick.
Do you need tweezers? Do we need a first aid kit? Oh, splinter?
No, piece of glass.
Really?
My shoe broke in the beginning. Yeah, like this. I see you, universe. I see you trying me today.
Not today, Satan, not today.
Now the stage door Johnnies take the stage. Wearing blazers and pants, the three of them tap dance in unison. Interview.
There's so much uncharted ground as far as men doing burlesque. What we're trying to do really is, when you look at the history of female burlesque, is just creating a true male counterpart.
On stage, they continue to dance in unison. They all remove the false shirt fronts under their jackets.
We each will pick a different aspect of masculinity to, like, maybe amplify it. There's three for you. One to romance you, one to fuck you, and one to take home to your mother. And so it's like...
It's about exploring masculinity, not defining it. The thing is, you have to acknowledge the stereotype, you have to acknowledge the cultural norm, or you can't play with it. Don't we want men to be strong, but also nurturing and tender?
It's
So our first show.
Our first show did not go well.
Awful.
It was awful.
Yeah, I do remember it was the window the garage, was open.
They had the wings open and the buses were going by. And I remember, like, as I'm taking my pants down, seeing, like, a bus full of people going by.
Just these giant windows.
Yeah, these giant windows and me just thinking to myself, this is my life at this moment.
Yeah.
As a group, it's very much about the camaraderie that men have together.
We've kind of grown to be sort of brothers and have that sort of relationship.
Brothers who hate each other.
Yeah, brothers who hate each
other.
It's true.
The secret is that we actually kind of like each other, but we don't like to let each other know that.
That's true.
The finale of the act, the three men turn to face the audience. They are naked except for strategically placed cardboard leaves. The audience waits for the next act.
Give it up for Sandrea Dore!
While the stage is still dark, Sandrea strikes a pose. A spotlight reveals her, standing, looking up at the ceiling. She is holding a 3-foot diameter balloon with both hands. When the music begins, she starts dancing with the balloon. Interview.
I would say the biggest difference between stripping and burlesque would be the intentions of the audience. An audience at a strip club usually is expecting more in-your-face sex.
On stage, her movements are slow and graceful.
It's very much that, you know, focus on me, put your boobs in my face. I mean, there are people in the audience that are definitely creeping. Fabric free from gravity. There are nights where I've dealt with people who straight up are like, the reason why I touched you is because you have a hot body. And you just have to learn to deal with that. And I remember thinking, you know what? You're going to have to deal with me putting my knee in your groin. I'm the stripper, so you probably think I'm a degenerate. But whatever, go for it. I feel that a lot of stripping has sort of lost some of that artistic flair, which is actually what I feel burlesque has. The burlesque audience, they want to experience something that's creative, but it's not so carnal.
During the dance, while the balloon is floating, she removes pieces of clothing.
It's given me something to express myself. With that little mix of, like, minx sexuality, like, you know, I can still flirt with people. It's sort of living my own little fantasy of being in some kind of, like, just wanton, naughty lady.
As a finale, she shimmies, twirling the tassels on her breasts. The balloon floats down in front of her. She raises it above her head. Haley.
I think the primary difference is the sophistication and the intellectual engagement with neo-burlesque. It's about being comedic and ribald and fun and sticking it to society. And then also taking off your clothes.
I think I have more
Sandrea
of a standard of what I'm bringing to the table in burlesque dancing.
Angelique.
This isn't a money-making business by any means.
Isaiah.
It celebrates the body in a way that nothing else really does.
Babs.
And there's more variety.
Haley.
We walk through life and we walk through our cities with certain guards up, and the entire point of burlesque is to tear a lot of that down and make us look at ourselves and our society for what it is.
In Avizia's room, there are many paintings of Jesus on the wall.
When I think of myself as an early performer, I was very crass. I sort of wanted to offend people. I would flip people off and be like, fuck you!
On stage, Avizia wears a mask and several layers of clothing. She contorts her body, bringing her foot behind her head.
But as things have changed over the years, I do actually care how my audience receives me. I don't want to do anything that really causes anybody suffering or hurt.
She removes the mask, the MC.
For a religious experience, courtesy of Avizia.
Avizia, now wearing a short, frilly dress, reaches into a small suitcase and takes out a puppet.
My Jesus puppet act does piss people off. But overall, the reaction that I get from that act in particular is really positive and people love it.
The Jesus puppet lip syncs to the music, then Avizia caresses it.
Jesus didn't start out in burlesque shows. Jesus was something that I would take to the strip club with me. There were a couple people who would walk out, and I'm like, you're at a strip club. Looking at pussy is okay, but a Jesus doll is not.
On stage, Avizia simulates oral sex with a Jesus puppet.
When I spend a night dancing and performing and I hear people say, thank you, thank you, thank you, that validates that I'm doing everything that I should be doing, that my talents are being placed exactly where they need to go. Take it how you want to. Or think about why this has triggered something inside of you to either stimulate you sexually or mentally or emotionally. Like, it can happen on many different levels.
Now scenes of Avizia performing with fire. She slowly removes her outer clothing, then runs a torch over her body. She rolls around on stage with the torches, then carefully puts the torches in her mouth and eats fire. Now Angelique walks through a wooded area carrying a large tote bag with another slung across her shoulders. Interview.
I live in a beautiful little cottage that is a couple miles away from civilization.
She emerges from the woods and walks along a two-lane road.
It's about a mile to get to the closest bus stop. And I pack very strategically, and I start the trek down to the theater. I don't know if I could say that dancing makes me feel alive. Dancing makes me alive. It's in my conversation, it's in my presentation, it's in my performance, it's in my expression.
She trudges through a grassy area and ducks under a fence.
I grew up in Grand Forks, North Dakota. I was kind of the black sheep of the state. I always dressed a little different. I was always really, really outgoing.
She crosses an open field.
I was kind of embarrassing, I think, probably to my family sometimes.
Next, in a room, she practices dance moves in front of a mirror. Scenes of her practice are interspersed with scenes of her performing the same moves on stage while wearing a light sheer dress.
It was hurtful that I embarrassed my family. Sorry, Mom, but they flat out said, you embarrass us. And that was really, really hurtful, and that stayed with me for a really long time. But I couldn't help it. Even if I tried to change who I was, how I came across, or my manners and my dress, like, I never, ever did it right. Lying next to you.
On stage, another female performer joins her and slowly removes Angelique's stockings.
And I left. I moved away when I was 17. Being on my own allowed me to realize that I'm okay who I am. Like, I'm a good person.
On stage, Angelique slowly removes the dress, revealing a thong bikini underneath. In practice, she performs the striptease moves without removing her clothes. Say what's on your
mind. Burlesque for me was never a defiance. It was not a fuck you. So it wasn't something that I was like, ha ha, I'm niggin' now. What do you guys think about that? It's definitely been like a homecoming. So far away. It was like, I found my people. Like, everybody looked weird, and it was celebrated, and it was, like, encouraged, and You weren't judged on that.
On stage, the finale. Angelique and the other performer embrace.
I mean, we're all so different. We look different. We like different music. We move differently. We have different priorities. But there's a commonality there. We're all just telling our stories. And that's one of the best parts.
Now in a small house on a residential street, Isaiah, his mother, and his boyfriend are in the kitchen. Pasta cooks on the stove. Music plays from a laptop on the counter.
No idea. Like, when we kept listening, so neither one of us could catch it. Number. What is he saying? What's he saying?
What was it? It's not paying. Something that I don't know. They're feeling for you.
That first line, though.
They're fine.
That first
something
line.
I got to do it, do it.
Isaiah's mother.
So, you can't tell me about America's Got Talent. You still can't talk about it?
A scene from the show, America's Got Talent, Isaiah performs with two female impersonators.
You are a little cray cray, and I love it. I thought it was great.
Who is that? You a guy, you're a lady, and you're a lady.
I'm a dude.
They sit in the living room.
Keep in mind, like, this is the third time that they've scouted me personally for the show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
for scouted
like,
you.
Like, yeah. But for me, it's not about, like, what they want, where we can go with it. It's about being able to go forward as myself, representing what I represent.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. They kind of make it a joke of us, just less of a joke than what they made of every other queer identifying group. Okay. I tried not to really make much of a deal out of it because it was only partially a decent, like a good experience for us.
It was only partly?
Yeah.
Experience is experience. You gotta find the good in it, all of it.
It was great exposure, but it's an isolated thing for me.
No, but it's not. That was on TV. You can't isolate that. People think that.
I will die a happy man if nobody else knows about me than who already know about me. I don't need to be on any TV show.
Now in her apartment, Zora and her mother are in the bathroom. Zora glues on false fingernails.
So this is the glue, and when you take this off, you just kind of pull them off?
Yep, they just peel right off. Wow, I'm at the end of this glue here.
Uh-oh.
That's right, got me through tonight. That's all I needed.
She leans in close to the mirror.
I have to lean in here and watch. Sorry. Oh, if you ever put fake eyelashes on, I have to get a lesson in case I ever want to do this.
Zora applies lashes.
You're just gorgeous.
You're partial.
I know.
You're partial.
I know.
Sandria.
My mom loves the whole burlesque community. Loves it. Like, everybody knows her. She's definitely, like, burlesque mom.
Babs.
All the other performers who have met her, she likes to be called Mom's Jamboree.
Stage door Johnny's.
My parents love it. My parents...
Almost too much.
Almost actually. Too much, actually.
Yes. His father thinks of acts he should do.
Yeah, my...
And designs the costume.
And particularly because I grew up Mormon.
I mean, you know, my mom's kind of a church lady, so, you know, the idea of me getting on stage and, you know, shaking my ass in front of some strangers, maybe not her cup of tea.
Isaiah.
You can always hear her in the audience. That's my son. That's my son. And every time there's like some booty shaking or something, you literally see her shadow get up and she's like dancing around. Like she's all for it. And she's just happy to see me confident.
In a dance studio, Violet Oh My God leads a group of male and female dancers in rehearsal. Next, Violet dances alone in the studio, wearing a leather bodysuit and boots.
No.
Damn.
Some other time, some other century. Hey, boy, you...
Interview with Violet.
When I'm choreographing something, I will lock the doors. No one can be around.
Huh? Ice
sometimes to get to the right moment, I have to be really dorky. And sometimes I won't even expect it. There'll be a lyric in a song and my body does something that makes me laugh or makes me feel I'm super clever. It's a proud moment for me. It's like a little dance baby was born.
Rehearsal.
Tall girl, short girl, tall girl, and short girls are sitting and we do.
I choreograph most of the numbers, even for the other dancers, pick the theme, pick most of the music, and it's a lot of work in addition to just going to rehearsal.
Violet leads a group of women in rehearsal.
We have to rehearse sometimes until midnight, and we all have families and husbands and jobs to go to the next day. I always end up in the hole. I don't really make money doing it. But the experience of producing a show and choreographing all the pieces and working with my best friends at rehearsal is worth every penny.
A montage of dance rehearsal scenes interspersed with the same routine performed on stage.
When I was in elementary school, I found a little flyer on the ground at recess, and I brought it home and asked my parents if they would take me to dance class, and they did, and I've danced ever since. After many years of doing jazz and hip-hop, I opened my own dance studio and learned about burlesque by accident. A best friend of mine was in a dance performance, and I had no idea what I was about to see.
On stage, five women dance in unison. The finale, all the women remove their tops. Violet.
The dancing and the sexy and the pretty and the funny all come together at the same time, and that's what makes it so special, and there's nothing else that does that. Only burlesque does that.
A city street at night, a street performer plays a trumpet. Now daytime, the outside of an apartment building. Inside, exercise equipment and props, including Sandria's large balloon. In the bathroom, Sandria curls her long hair with a curling iron.
If you dance and you are the best of the genre that you are dancing in, then you're a professional. It's hard for some people to understand that. They're like, well, if you're a stripper, you're not a real dancer. It's like, I'm a fucking real dancer. Like, I work my ass off. The reason why I didn't become a professional ballerina is because I lacked the discipline. I thought this is too fucking hard. I have such an appreciation for it, and it is so remarkably beautiful, but it is also one of the most torturous forms of dancing.
Next, Sandria drives.
I still consider myself a feminist because I do what I want with my body, and it's my rules, it's my boundaries.
She parks the car.
Some people think that's weird. They're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. You're just adding to the problem because you're willingly objectifying yourself.
She crosses a street.
It's a fucked up aspect of just our culture and our life. Women are seen as objects. Women are seen to be cultivated.
It's rough. It's rough being sexy.
She arrives at a restaurant. A man greets her.
It is so good to see you. I've been a raving bitch all day.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, I should be.
Bring it on.
Hi. You know, I get paid to dance and be fabulous. That's the good life.
On stage, Sandria dances seductively in a one-shoulder black sequined gown and elbow-length gloves. Interview.
Do I ever feel judged? Yeah. Every day. Every fucking day. People would always say to me, like, are you married yet? You know, and I'm not. Well, what are you gonna do? Like, you know, you're gonna die. You're gonna die a spinster. Well, goddamn it, I'm gonna die a spinster that was the showgirl. So I'm okay with this.
On stage, she slowly unzips the side zipper of the gown.
Whether you want to be a very overtly sexual person and display that doesn't make you stupid and subhuman.
Now wearing only a thong bikini and bra, she rests on her elbows and one knee. She gracefully brings the other foot up and delicately rests it on her head.
What's fun about burlesque is that you can just go out there and do your thing.
She twirls on stage and whips off her bra in mid-twirl.
You can perform, you can look any way you want to, you can be who you are and still be a star.
She finishes the performance with her back to the audience, raising one arm. Now, Jet.
I often think of the word objectify, and not necessarily as a negative thing. We are choosing to objectify ourselves on our own terms.
People talk about objectifying women. You're really talking about taking the character out. You know, you're talking about making humans into objects. And one thing that I love about burlesque is you're just putting so much more character into someone and adding story and adding narrative and personality.
An onstage performance by Russell Brunner. Russell has long sideburns and a handlebar mustache. He wears an old-fashioned suit and dances, using his bowler hat as a prop. Interview.
Some places in the United States, they are more strict on their decency laws. Ladies can't show nipples, can't touch yourself in an arousing way. You must have this much fabric going on your backside.
Russell dances playfully with a cane.
Whoa, okay, well, if that's what they can't do, what can I not do?
Finale, Russell strips down to naked, hiding his penis between his legs.
Can't show an erect penis in public. That's it, huh? Women are selling the service, but men, they're just being funny.
A view of a lineup outside a club. Inside, on stage, a video begins. It has the look and feel of an old-fashioned silent movie with fast-motion photography and titles. One of the scenes is titled, Tip If It Suits You, with a tip jar atop a tiny piano. Your gravity. Suddenly, an error message. Backstage, Zora.
So mad. Fucking Steve. God damn it. I'm good. I'm just angry, and I want to just be angry for a second. I'm good. I promise. I'm good.
Because you're amazing.
Thank you. That video was amazing, and that's the whole point of the show. That's the reason why we don't have an MC. It's different. It's like trademark. But we're good. I'm good. I just need to keep going. Is Emily ready to go? Awesome. Have we taken the piece of paper away so that Kevin knows he can stop playing? Love you.
On stage, a man finishes playing an electric piano. Several audience members come forward, offering him tips.
Oh my God, thank you.
Two women insist on tucking the money into the waistband of his pants. Backstage, Sandria checks her nipple covers. Zora secures her feathered headdress, then adjusts her gown and heads for the stage.
Good luck,
ladies. Okay. She waits for her cue. Nearby, a woman holds Zora's large feather fans.
Zora, Bob,
her performance begins. Her sparkly pink gown is decorated with elaborate beading and sequins.
That's where you're all mine. The mainland hubs where the nightfall comes.
I spend a tremendous amount of money on costumes. Tremendous.
She turns her back to the audience and slowly bends over.
The money that gets spent on burlesque, you never recover, but it becomes worth it for you emotionally.
Zora struts across the stage, expertly flipping the feather fans.
There's nothing like walking on stage and having people fall all over themselves, and that most days is your payment.
She unties two straps and wiggles out of the bottom of the dress.
there have been some changes that I've made in my life recently that created a lot of questions within myself about who I am and how I present myself.
On stage, Zora kicks off her shoes. She undoes the bodice of the dress, then pulls it apart and drops it to the floor.
When I first started doing it, I was taking things from my everyday life and I was piping them into burlesque to give me a burlesque character. And at some point along the way, the empowerment that burlesque naturally brings kind of started channeling back towards my real life. And I found that I was bringing confidence. I was like, I can pretty much do anything I want. Like, you want to do that over there? Great, let's go fucking do it. And get what you want. Like, get what you want out of this lifetime. You know, like, let's not fuck about anymore and do this, like, okay, we're kind of getting by thing. I'm not interested in that. And I'm not interested in making that kind of burlesque either.
Now the leaves of a tree come into focus. A small house. Inside, Angelique organizes makeup and utensils.
The backstage is going to be hot and crowded, I imagine.
She sits on the floor and chooses from her large selection of makeup brushes. She applies some makeup. Next, Babs.
Show day is Princess Day. And not like Princess Day, like you feel so special and like a pretty, pretty princess, but like you get away with terrible, terrible behavior because you are a crazy person. And your partner treats you like a princess. Like, okay, honey, whatever you want. Okay, I'm a stupid piece of shit. That's fine. Okay, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I will drive you. Yeah, no, thank you. It's okay.
Angelique rides in the back seat of a car driven by a man.
Oh, I know. When you gotta get to a show, you gotta get to a show. Dating a burlesque performer is hard. A lot of relationships suffer. Selfie! Not for, like, the nudity reasons or not for, you know, the sexual overtones. I had more than one partner be like, I'm not a priority. Burlesque always comes first. They were right. Absolutely. Oh, dear burlesque goddess, please let me not have forgotten anything. We pour our money and our time, and all of our goals revolve around burlesque. And I know I'm not the only one. I know it's kind of a running theme, and that's hard on relationships.
In the car.
I think I go to a decent amount.
Yeah, probably, like, when you're in town, yeah. Half of them. If I had to choose, of course I would choose him. But this is the first time in my life that I would make that choice. But of course, I will never have to, you know, because he's so incredibly supportive.
Angelique's partner helps unload her bags at the theater.
We do.
Now backstage. Okay. Zora goes over some dance moves with Isaiah.
I'm not going to do that. That's fine. Okay, thank you. Game plan. That's what I needed. Lift. Mm-hmm. Deep breath. Tuck. Mm-hmm. Fold out. Walk. Head. So. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, this one. Play with your junk. And then turn around. I solo again. You solo again. I sleep on the stage. I come in behind you. I caterpillar you. You are on top of me. You do your awesome thing. We turn. We kiss.
I'm going to kiss you when I let you down.
Okay, cool.
Great.
Do it. I'll be ready for it. Love you.
So cool. The performance begins. Zora is wearing a soft white sheer dress. Isaiah wears an unbuttoned black shirt and skimpy underwear. They perform a graceful duet. Isaiah.
Being able to own your sexual power is essential to being happy to me, to being a fully happy, fully confident, comfortable, safe person.
On stage, he gently lifts Zora's dress off over her head. Underneath, she wears a black thong bikini.
I was sexually abused for a few years when I was younger, and it got to a point where normally, like when that happens to someone, like when they're really young, they either become overly sexualized or they like hide it all away. And for me, I use that sexy energy as a weapon. And if I wasn't like hunting someone down and trying to, you know, like to conquer, then I had no interest in people and connection. And it felt like there was always someone else that was getting more out of my sexual power, my sexual energy, and my sexuality than I was. So I was always giving up something instead of gaining something.
Scenes of Zora and Isaiah's seductive dance interspersed with scenes of a similar duet featuring Isaiah and a male dancer.
Burlesque and performing and doing all of the sexy characters, it feels like I'm taking back ownership of it for me. The fact that I can move my hip this way and I can squint my eyes and I can make you feel something, that's power to me. That's power.
Slow motion images of Isaiah's muscular body.
I don't need to be looked at as sexy from all these different people. Like, it's not about that. When I'm on stage, I can command this and I can make you feel this. It's my sexuality and how it connects to yours.
Performance finale. Isaiah and Zora lie down on the floor together. The stage goes dark. Backstage.
It's all about the fact that I am in love in a way that I didn't think possible. I feel like that feeling was what was felt and it was expressed and that people connected to that. So, I'm good about that one.
Isaiah's boyfriend comes over and gives him a kiss.
I love you so much. Sweaty beast.
Water? Got it.
Oh, thank you.
Babs and Zora at a makeup mirror.
Name my new baby.
My mom won the Broadway tour.
Nice!
She's been sober for 39 years.
I mean,
amazing. I mean, she's going to give it to one of my sisters. It's fine. It was pretty hilarious. That's really good.
All right, folks, we're at 10 minutes till the end of intermission.
Thanks, okay. Ken.
Magic Club Soda.
Bubbles.
Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Babs.
Making a lot of positive changes in my life. I am in recovery from like alcoholism and drug addiction and all that good stuff. And so I've got several months sober under my belt, and that's making me look at the world in a new way. And yeah, Burlesque used to be a little bit more of escape and a little bit more of distraction from, you know, a little bit of the mess that I was causing for myself, but I'm developing a new relationship with it. And it's making the shows that I do like even more like special, and I put more work into them. And when I show up to perform, like really show up to perform, you know, and that's made it like a scarier experience, but like a richer experience for that reason. Definitely.
We are happy for you.
Thank you.
Backstage.
You doing all right, honey?
Isaiah hugs his boyfriend's knees. Zora crouches down and gives Isaiah a gentle kiss on his shoulder. She leans against him affectionately. Angelique.
Shira. Princess of power.
I love Shira.
Because I'm going to put all of Shira's power into you.
Angelique puts her hands on Isaiah's head.
And Wonder Woman,
just put it right in.
Yeah, put it right in.
Now the performance begins. Isaiah wears a shiny bodysuit which bears both arms and one leg. Another male dancer is lowered onto the stage performing gymnastic moves on straps. Isaiah.
My Burley family has been a really big part of my life. Just some really genuine connections. I think it's because everyone is in such a vulnerable state when it comes to sharing your body and sharing your art.
On stage, Isaiah and a male dancer perform a duet.
I had an injury, you know, I injured my knee. I wasn't going to be able to teach. It was my full-time job is teaching and performing. I wasn't going to have any income, and I was probably going to need surgery.
The duet with Zora.
Zora Von Pavanin and Angelique DeVille started this GoFundMe. They took care of me. when I needed it, and I didn't have the resources, I didn't have the family for it, but my Burley family had my back.
At the end of the show, the performers wave at the audience. Now daytime, Zora unloads feather fans and tote bags from the trunk of a car.
Still 78 pounds.
I've never encountered anything where you just get to show up and be present and everyone is so eager to be there. And that creates camaraderie and community and love with the people that you are doing it with. And this is why people stay. This is why people do it. This is why people spend money that they don't have to be a part of this.
She enters a theater and is greeted by Angelique.
Let's make a show.
Yeah, let's fucking dance.
Let's dance about it.
Okay. I love you. Let's make a show.
Okay.
On stage, Angelique performs a Michael Jackson-style routine.
Maybe it's a stretch for me to say that, well, burlesque has made me a better person, but I kind of feel like it has. The encouragement, the support, the friendships, the humor, it's made my life better in so many ways.
Babs performs in her burrito costume. Grande.
We're kind of in a place where we're redefining, like, what is sexy? Does it have to be just, like, fully nude all the time? Maybe sexy is more in the mind.
Violet.
I'm so tired. We make everything look easy and sweet and entertaining, but backstage it is a frenzy. And the bond you have with people in that close of an environment is forever.
Sandria performs dressed as a spaceman in a silver bodysuit and helmet.
I feel like I am definitely the woman that I dreamed myself to be. Like, I look in the mirror and I'm like, all right, I did that.
Isaiah performs wearing an elaborate costume and makeup.
Love drives everything that I do now. I love everything I do, and that's why I do it. I love the people that I work with, which is why I work with them. And at the end of the day, I love myself. Pretty much kind of sums it all up for me.
Zora and Angelique perform, wearing Wonder Woman and Princess She-Ra costumes. Zora.
We have a really good fucking time all the time. And in the most positive way, it is addicting because you go and you're just like, I want to feel this good all the time.
On stage, their backs to the audience, Zora and Angelique shimmy, twirling tassels on their butt cheeks. They turn and face the audience for the finale, raising their arms triumphantly. Closing credits are interspersed with scenes of all the performers on stage taking their final bows. Director John Manning, producers Julie Livingston and John Manning, co-producers Selena Bakakis, Miriam Garcia, Jonathan Adams, and Bryce Hill. Featured performers Zora Van Pavanin, Angelique DeVille, Babs Jamboree, Isaiah Esquire, Sandria Dore, Stage Door Johnnies, Bazooka Joe, Jet Adore, Ray Gunn, Violet Oh My God, Russell Bruner, and Avizia Dakini, journalist Haley Sweetland Edwards. He demands a sacrifice to drain a whole sea. On stage, female performers stand in a row holding parasols. They pose and wave to the audience. There's a fine looking high horse. What you got in the stable? We've got to stop it. Post-production facility, Mission Control. Composer, Jim Walker. Assistant audio engineer, Connor Thompson. Music consultant, Beth Amy Rosenblatt. Location audio, Glenn McAuliffe and Eric Goldstein. Post audio studio, Studio 515. The performers continue to receive accolades as they take their bows. They joyfully hug and kiss each other. One of the performers surprises Avizia with a bouquet of flowers. Publicity, Heidi Vanderlee. Shark Party Media. Social media, Chelsea Fung. Transcription, Shelley Kennedy and Linda Friedman. The performers take bows individually and in groups, continuing to entertain the audience with playful dance moves.
Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your lights. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death. Good God, let me give you my life. Take me to church at the shrine.
A standing ovation from the audience. Words on screen. A humble thanks to my crew for the commitment and sacrifice you each made to see this film through to its completion.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Glitter Tribe Review sponsors Oh Baby Lingerie, Fancy Lady Society, and New Deal Vodka. Divizia.
This girl goes, what the fuck did I just see?
Happy little monkey me, sitting in my monkey tree, with my monkey family, living here in harmony.
Babs.
I had a kind of ridiculous costume malfunction recently that involves, like, weird pussy tricks, if you want to hear it.
Words on screen, the end. Copyright 2016, Brightwater Media.
Monkey King.